Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk, the first of 3 big hours of high school football previews, getting you set for the upcoming season. We're going to have plenty of predictions, insights, teams and players to watch, a lot of predictions, and of course, on tonight's show, we're going to be unveiling the RCN preseason high school football poll for Pennsylvania. So we're glad you could join us this evening. We're going to be online, on demand, and of course on RCN TV over the next couple days with some great high school football coverage. Our first high school football game will be tomorrow night live with Gary Laubach and Mike Joseph and Tony Coca, starting at 7 p.m. Central Catholic versus Freedom. But tonight's guest, let's introduce tonight's round of experts getting you set for high school football. We have Joe Craig, the co-host of the program, and Mr. Dennis Slob. Guys, nice to be back again. Yeah. Our 13th year of high school football in RCN.
It is great.
Yep. Glad to be back. You know, it's that this time of year is
a little earlier.
Normal. Yeah, it is. Yeah. But usually, it's the summer is winding down, which is bad. But the good thing is we got high school football, which is big in this area. It really warrants a lot of attention. I'm just glad that RCN gives it as much as it does.
So certainly glad to do that every year. This year, of course, an unprecedented 3 hours. For hours 2 and 3, that'll be coming up later. We're going to focus on the different leagues, too, to give them more time. But on tonight's program, we're going to give an overview, some general thoughts. And my first question to you guys is, besides the classifications, and a lot has been talked about, especially on this program, we've talked about it for months, Jason Zimmerman and some of the head football coaches who have some very strong opinions are going to be on to talk about, discuss, and debate that in a few weeks. But let's table that issue for now, the classifications, and just talk about the on-the-field issues. What are some of the big storylines that you're watching for the upcoming school year?
Joe? Well, I think one of the big things in my mind is the lack of a and I don't mean to sound that the football's not very good in the Valley this year. I don't mean it that way. There's no team like last year where you knew Parkland, you knew they were going to be in the thick of a state race. And we don't have anybody, I don't think, like that this year. We have a lot of pretty good teams. I think a lot of balance at both the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference level and at the Colonial League level. And I think one of the things that I think is helping as far as East Penn Conference is pique a little more interest to me personally as a Bethlehem guy is seeing Bethlehem Catholic back down in the Valley Division and the South Division, where they're going to play the Parklands and all those teams that they haven't been playing since they were up there. And Central leaving the South Division, moving up to the Mountain Division. I think that's another thing I want to see. As far as the Colonial League is concerned, I want to see if Saucon Valley can replace that great skilled people set that they had from a year ago, because they have the offensive and defensive lines and linebackers. Right. They got people. And they're going to be very strong in that league. And I want to see how that goes. And you couple that with the Notre Dame situation where their new coach has taken over, and Chuck Muller is now over at Saucon Valley as an assistant coach. And they're both going to be very good teams. It's going to be interesting to see how that happens.
Dennis, what are some of the things you're most excited about for this
the
show?
The main thing that I'm really excited about is I don't think we ever came into a year where, and I'll go backwards and say the 4A and the 3A district champ both had head coaches
Oh, that's a good
leave.
Point.
Yeah. And the amount of head coaches that the turnover that we've had it at Parkland and Saucon Valley and even at Bethlehem Catholic, who was right up there, Notre Dame. There's a lot of turnover as far as some of these major players that we've been talking about for years and championship level teams, and now they're, you know, you could say that there's not going to be any changes. A lot of the same staff remains in place, but there will be some change somewhere along the lines. If it's an offensive scheme or so, there will be something different about it, and that's the thing that really piques my interest.
Well, I think you're going to see some change just with one of the marquee programs in the Valley, and that's Easton. Where Easton coming in every year has a mini Gratz or a, you name it. They go down the list of great running backs, and they were always a fullback running back set with double tight a lot of the time, single tight, wide out. Now they're going to spread the ball out. They're going to have two wideouts, two slot backs out wide. You may see a lot of one-back sets from Easton. Who would ever have seen that from Easton before? And Easton, a team that is known for its great defense, they lost 10 out of 11 starters from that defense. This is going to be a new thing, a new thing to watch, see how affected they can be.
Yeah. And let's get back to Parkland for a second. Now, I know they're loaded. They got a ton of depth. They got a lot of size, a lot of skilled people back. But they lost some really key guys, some heart and soul guys. Devontae Cross, I think, was a little underrated in terms of what he brought to the table off the field. He was a great leader on the field. That's not easy to replace. And I don't think you can just click a switch and have a lot of skilled position people just come in, take over the program, and run it the way that those experienced guys, who had been through many wars, both football and basketball for a lot of them, is it possible they could take a step back this year?
They may take a slight step back, maybe early in the season, and that goes back to Brett Kopp running the offense now. Frank Lane was running the offense. Twirliger was running the offense. And now it's Brett Kopp's show. And Brett and Tim Montsman have been friends back for 10 years when they were at Liberty and Wilson, respectively. And, you know, Brett's going to change that offense a little bit. But when you talk about Parkland, you talk about just the tradition that they've built in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. The winning tradition, and it goes right from the varsity all the way down into the middle school levels. I mean, even down into the little league levels where the Terry Stouts and the North Parklands and the South Parklands, I mean, they just win. Yeah. And it's a who's up next mentality, and they have three offensive linemen back. That is a foundation. I would rather replace my skilled people then I would replace some offensive linemen. Big question, of course, is going to be the quarterback position. Okay. They named their guy, but, you know.
In a few minutes, we're going to see if they're number one in our poll or not, as we unveil those. And also, we have high school head coaches and player interviews coming up a little later on tonight's program. Right now, we're going to roll out our trivia question early to give you a chance to win tonight's special prize. Tonight's question, among the returning District 11 players only, name the individual who leads District 11 in career receiving yards. Or if you don't remember his name, you can identify his school or his team. So who is the, among District 11 players only, who is the only person or who leads District 11 in career receiving yards will accept the name or the school that he plays for. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
And that question one more time. Among returning District 11 players only, name the individual who leads District 11 in career rushing yards, or you can also correctly identify his team. Dennis Lobb, Joe Craig, our guests for hour number one of 3 Big Hours of High School Football Primer on RCN and RCN Online. Joe, I want to ask you about Whitehall, because that is a team, they have just about everyone back last year. They took some lumps. And I know they're kind of in a lot of people's conversations because they're one of the few 5A teams. But is it possible? I think they can really contend in the East Penn Conference and give, you know, maybe a Freedom or Parkland a run for the title.
Well, I think the quarterback situation again there is the key. You know, they're going to have to find out if Zach Gilbert, the head coach's son, is really able to do the things that Senator did last year. I think that's going to be very important. Whitehall also had the benefit of Boykin coming back to the squad. Everybody expected he was not going to be there. He's going to enroll at a different high school. He's back at Whitehall. That helps. But let me get to the question of the offensive line. I don't care who your skilled people are. If you want to be consistent in football on any level, and Dennis, you know, you've played the game, you know what I'm talking about here. You've got to have that interior core of five guys, and they've got to be effective. And they lost some players. They're going to be young, a relatively young line that's going to be somewhat inexperienced. That, as that develops and the quarterback situation develops, that's going to dictate. Mm-hmm. They have enough skilled people to make a dent if they can get that kind of strong play.
And I remember a couple of years ago when they were in a similar situation, they brought a lot of people back. You praised the offensive line, and as the season went on, people kind of realized that was the key to their success. Yeah. Dennis, you're tuned into the Whitehall community, so are these guys ready to take the program to the next level?
I'm going to actually go on. Have my first disagreement with Joe Craig of 2016.
One of many we will have.
They returned their whole entire offensive line. They started four sophomores and a junior last year who are now four juniors and a senior. Mm-hmm. So the strength of this squad right now is the offensive line. And some of them, unfortunately, have to play defense too. But I definitely agree with one main factor, and that's the Gilbert situation. Zach Gilbert, he's a senior coming in there, and he does have a nice receiver out there in Desmond Boykin. And running back wise, they're, you know, going to be okay, but they have a tough early schedule.
Yeah they do.
And you know, you start out, you know, you get your Pocono Mountain West, but then you're going down to Emmaus, and that's never an easy thing. And then you got Liberty coming, and it's going to be tough for them, but they can compete.
And you were right about the offensive line. Being 72 years old now, there are times when I get these blanks up here, and anybody that's over 70 understands where I'm talking, what I'm talking about. And you're right. I did forget. I confused them with someone else. But even with that, with an experienced offensive line, part of what makes that offensive line so effective last year was the fact that they had so many weapons. You know, with Senator was always a threat. Now, that's where Zach Gilbert's going to have to step up, and we'll see that. And if he does step up, that offensive line will be very effective. If they can't get the quarterback play that they're used to having, and they don't have a running back like they have a couple of years ago, and it's now at Penn State, you know, things can change. But it'll be an interesting situation. Defensively will also be a key.
Dennis mentioned that. Liberty. I think that might be the best one-two punch in terms of running backs. Joe, I know you have some questions about them. Well, but they made some changes defensively, too. Yeah. And people, I don't think, gave them credit last year. Remember, they ended up with the silver medal in District 11 and finished the year pretty strong. And they have a lot of those core people back.
So. Well, they had the biggest win of the year last year when they knocked off a good part. As we all know, Parkland and Liberty was the team that beat them. But I don't care if you have O.J. Simpson and Jim Brown in your backfield. If you have problems up front, and they have had a lot of problems up front, they don't have the quarterback situation. Again, going back to quarterback, last year's quarterback, let's remember who that was. And he bailed them out a lot of times. And they've had a history of quarterbacks like that over the last 10 or 12 years. They've had great quarterback play who's been able to bail them out when things didn't go well. If their offensive line develops, they'll be a real threat because they've got the skilled people. But they got to prove it to me. I haven't seen it yet. In the last 3-4 years, I haven't seen that kind of development of linemen that I think you need to be successful.
They lost everybody. Yep. They, on the other hand, they lost every offensive lineman.
Yep.
But they do have, by far, the best running back tandem, and they got Street out wide. And, yes, the quarterback moved on to East Stroudsburg University, but the name of the quarterback for Liberty is the same.
Yeah.
It's still Ernie, so, but it's just not Doug. Yeah. I guess it's Scott, so they'll be
all
right.
And they have one other factor. Liberty has one other guy in it, and that's they've got a kicker this year. Well, they have a kicker. Well, Dugan we know about, but they also have a kicker. And this Tyler Ryman, who we forget, he kicked 50 or 60 extra points last year, scored 63 points. So and that's effective. When you have a guy that you know can kick the ball from anywhere from 25 yards in, that really makes your offense a lot better.
No doubt.
Ask Parkland. You recall what they had 2 years ago is now kicking for Lafayette. So, you know, it makes a big difference. So I think that's a plus for Liberty. But they still have to develop in the trenches. Dugan defensively, one of the best defensive players in the Valley. No question about it. Big-time player. Rutgers looking at him. Probably will sign it at a big-time school. You know, I think they'll be good in those areas. But it's still going to all come down to what happens up front.
All right, you're watching the RCN High School Football Show. Number one, the first of three big hours on TV, online, and on demand for you to get you ready for the upcoming season, which will start a little earlier this year. But we're all in full football mode this year with unprecedented coverage, getting you ready for high school football. We're going to take a little break from the high school football talk and be back. We have our polls coming up, plus some interviews with head coaches and players from different teams in our coverage area. But right now, our first break of the evening, and we hope you've enjoyed all of our features on Phillies and Nationals prospects during the summer months. For our final baseball feature, we go to the Phillies minor league system and talk to Brock Stassi, who's been hitting at a 290 clip since the Memorial Day break, and he has been one of the most consistent players in the upper levels of the Phillies organization.
Everybody's excited about the future in the Phillies organization, and we drafted really well lately and made some really good trades, so everybody's excited about the group of young guys coming up, and hopefully we can make it work together and everybody can move up together. So I'm very excited to be in this organization. You know, that was actually my first winning season since I've been in the organization, besides my first year in short season. So it was nice to be on the other side of things. We came one game short of winning the whole thing, which was disappointing. But nice to see the turnaround at each level. You know, they made the playoffs in Clearwater. I know that for sure. Williamsport made it, and then we made it in AA last year too. So hopefully we can continue that success. Over the community came out and really supported us in the playoffs and making a push, especially being in – that was my second go-around in Reading, and seeing we weren't even close in 2014 and then 2015, such a big turnaround, and seeing the community rally behind us as we were making that run was really special.
Welcome back to High School Football Preview number one of three big shows coming your way, getting ready for high school football starting early this year. And right now we're going to start several interviews we have with some outstanding head coaches in the RCN viewing area. Let's welcome in on the phone lines Randy Trivers, head coach at Gonzaga after an outstanding year last year. Randy, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thanks for joining us. I know it's a very busy time for you.
I'm glad to be able to join you. Just taking a breather from watching the video and preparing for the season and practice right now.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Take a little breather.
Yeah, I know you're very busy this time. You're getting ready for your first game this Saturday. Before we talk about this year's team, though, I got to ask you about last year. 11-2, back-to-back D.C. champs, dismantled another powerhouse team in the DCIAA championship, H.D. Woodson, 45-6. What's the last few years been like for you, in particular, leading this team that has already had so much success in the past, but once again having another fine season in 2015?
Well, you know, I appreciate it. You know, we've had some success the last couple of years. We're blessed to have, some talented players, but more importantly, players that are buying into, the football culture that we're, attempting to create, and really, it's a joy to coach the kids that we're coaching, and hopefully we can keep it moving in the right direction. Very strong, dedicated, and committed group of coaches that we have, and really, quite frankly, parents and supportive people surrounding the program that help make things strong. But our players have done a really, really nice job of committing themselves to the core values and the philosophy and the things that we believe in. And, we really have a football culture that I think is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I know the H.D. Woodson was a definite highlight for you. Another quick question I want to ask you about last year, though. You upset DeMatha on a game that was nationally televised on ESPN. I know emotions were running high in that ball game. What were your memories of that contest, and what were the players saying both after that game and probably well after that game was played during this offseason?
Well, first of all, DeMatha is an outstanding program. You know, they have, you know, fantastic athletes. They're well coached. They have great, great tradition. So, you know, they're a great program. So, anytime you can get a win against a program of that caliber, it's a good thing for the for our program. You know, it was a regular season game, which, you know, we try to, you know, take those things one at a time and not, you know, get too up or too down about regular season wins or losses. Certainly, playing on ESPN as a high school program is a unique opportunity. So for us to be able to have that opportunity and to come out victorious versus a team that we have a lot of respect for and a team that that is so highly thought of, it's a great thing for our program, great confidence booster and team builder and all those things. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, at Gonzaga, we want to not only be strong in the regular season, we want to, you know, continue to have opportunities to, you know, hopefully advance in the postseason. And, you know, so that was a fine moment in for Gonzaga football, but also, you know, making sure that we continue to go beyond, you know, take them one game at a time. And last year we were able to, you know, we weren't able to win our league, but we were able to advance in the D.C. playoffs and as you mentioned earlier, get our second D.C. state championship in a row.
One of the players I wanted to ask you about, Tyree Randolph, D.C.'s area's leading rusher returning this year, posted some incredible numbers for you last year. He's listed at 5'7", 175 pounds. I'm told he's a great individual, really special person. Could you talk a little bit about him and what makes him so special and so dominant despite his size of 5'7", 175? You wouldn't think he'd be as dominant a running back as he's been the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, Tyree has been, as you mentioned, statistically, he's been a monster. I think in his sophomore year, he had over 1,200 yards. Last year, he rushed for over 1,800, but caught another 300-plus yards of balls through the air and with approximately 30 touchdowns. So, you know, statistical monster, as I said. And he, you know, as you mentioned, his stature may not be the biggest of football players, but he's a, you know, packs a heck of a punch. And, you know, and I think he's got a great combination of things. He's got great vision, great balance, very powerful for his size, pound for pound, very strong, great acceleration and explosion. And he's very tough. He's physically a tough young man. And he's intelligent. You know, he's very intelligent and instinctive football player. So, you know, and the great thing is his teammates love him and they play hard for him. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you have all those things going together, it helps not only make Tyree an effective player, but he also affects all the other guys around him in a positive manner.
I wonder if you could talk about some of your other top players. I know Johnny Jordan, he's 6'2", almost 300 pounds. I believe you told me last night he's going to Maryland. Sam Brown, your quarterback, has been getting some offers. Can you talk a little bit about your other top players and where they're looking at as far as colleges?
Yeah, I mean, there's some very good football players on our team. You know, certainly, you know, the guys you mentioned, Johnny Jordan is a, you know, has been a 3-year starter for us and is as talented an offensive lineman as there is really, to be honest with you, as I've been around in 20 plus years of coaching on the high school level or observing high school players as a college coach. I mean, he's very, very talented player that plays with a very plays with the right demeanor, if you will, as an offensive lineman. And then Max Fisher, who has been a highly productive receiver for us, was our leading receiver a year ago. Who had a monster game, as you mentioned, at the DeMatha game a year ago, and is a player that we expect to do great things for us again. He's an NC State commit. Sam Brown, who you mentioned, is, I think, one of the top quarterbacks in the D.C. metropolitan area returning. And, Sam is extremely talented and is a heck of a leader for our football team. So we're excited about Sam at the quarterback position. It's always good when you have experience at the quarterback position, on any level. Certainly in high school football, I think it makes a big difference in what you're doing. But we have an array of players, also on the offensive side of the ball. A young man by the name of Cameron Warfield up front who's done a great job. And Jairi Love is a receiver. Dean Ingram is another young wideout who started as a freshman for us. Fantastic. And then on the defensive side of the ball, we got some guys like Mitchell Johns, Josu Kari, Roger Miyato, Antoine Walker. Some of those names are guys that are, as you mentioned, guys that have next-level opportunities that will be very, very good players on the next level. But right now, they're holding it down for us as leaders, and we expect them to, really collectively put together the right types of productivity along with their leadership for us to be a very, very strong team this year, hopefully.
Randy, this is Joe Craig. Welcome aboard. Nice to have you with us here. Question for you. Being from the Washington area, now there's a lot of viewers watching our show who are from up in Pennsylvania, and we all know about the Washington, D.C. reputation with high school basketball, among the best in the country. No question about that. And it's such a hotbed for great high school basketball. What's it like running a football program in such a basketball-oriented area? Are you getting the kind of support? Are you starting to see national attention like they do in basketball? What's your assessment of that?
Well, I think you're accurate in the sense that Washington, D.C. has always had very, very good basketball for decades. Mm-hmm. D.C. and Baltimore and the area. It's really, produced some very, very outstanding basketball talent. But I think, from a football standpoint, the D.C. area is as big a hotbed as there is. Mm-hmm. I coached at Syracuse and at Rutgers, and before that, a long, long time ago, I was a grad assistant in Maryland. And I've been a high school coach in Florida and in Maryland and now in D.C. So I have a fairly good idea of, what some of the areas around the country have in terms of talent and, how what the quality of football right. is in certain areas. And, when you talk to college coaches that are recruiting and coming in certain areas, this is a heavily, heavily recruited area, the Washington, D.C. area. And I would say in the last 15 years has really, continued to be on the rise as far mm-hmm. as the level of talent. In the greater D.C. area. And for us, we have a tremendous amount of support as far as, our program and being able to do some of the things that we like to do as a program. So, you already mentioned, we played back-to-back years on ESPN mm-hmm. And had, two big victories on the major network. We've been able to place quite a few kids at the next level in college, and then also, our program is able to, procure opportunities to travel and play teams out of state. Like 2 years ago, we went up to play in the Chamonix in Pennsylvania, this year we're going down to play Vieira High School in Vieira, Florida, who was a state runner-up last year down there. So, we feel like, the brand of football in our area is really, really strong, particularly in our league. The WCAC is, perhaps the maybe from top to bottom as strong or as talented a league as there is in the country. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about not only us, Gonzaga, but you're talking about a team that you mentioned before, DeMatha, Good Counsel, St. John's, Bishop McNamara, these schools have a plethora of talented players that are playing a, really, really high mm-hmm. high level of football, a lot of big Division I prospects that are coming out of these programs. So, I think the D.C. area is really strong, is continuing to get better and better as far as the amount of talent in the area, and I think the coaching continues to improve too as people are, you know, trying to, you know, really be competitive, as competitive as they can be year in and year out.
Randy, can you briefly describe what kind of offensive scheme or your defensive scheme or, you know, anything that you feel that you contributed to the success that you've had down there?
Well, I mean, offensively and defensively, I mean, we want to, you know, I've always been a believer that we want to be multiple, okay, that, you know, it's important that, you know, as you play in high school football and you go through a season, at some point you're going to come up against somebody that's going to be really good at taking away something that you do, whether that's, you know, run the ball between the tackles, whether it's throw the ball deep, whether it's, you know, an option game that you run. So I've always been a believer in being multiple in what we do. So offensively, when you watch Gonzaga team, you know, the team's going to, you know, hit you with multiple personnel packages and formations, and really the playing style is going to be, you know, something that is going to be an exciting thing to watch, you know, because it's going to be a mix of things that we will do. But by the same token, we'll do whatever it takes to win and be successful. The you know, in the idea that we're multiple, but we're not confining in our players. So we don't try to make a player have to do a certain something because that's what our scheme limits him to do. We really want to assess our talent and be able to have enough flexibility within our schemes to take advantage. So, you know, for example, this year, you know, when you mentioned offensively guys like Sam Brown at quarterback, you know, Max Fisher at wide receiver, but also guys like Dean Ingram and Jyree Love at wide receiver. And then at running back, a guy like Tyree Randolph, you know, tight ends. We've got good tight ends and guys like Miles Brown and Jake Bergman. And, you know, so we want to take advantage of all those guys. Another guy in the backfield, Jason Labby. You know, so all of these players will have an impact on the game somehow, some way within the scheme of what we do. And then defensively, we also like to be multiple. I think it's good to, you know, we want to, you know, provide an offense with, you know, different looks and really, you know, be able to take advantage of our personnel and put them in the right positions to make plays, you know, and ultimately, you know, what you see with a Gonzaga team is a very disciplined team that plays very, very fast and very hard. You know, our players are going to play, you know, physical, fast, and they're going to be in great condition. They're going to play hard. They're going to play smart. You know, you know, generally, the Gonzaga team is not going to be a team that makes a lot of mistakes, you know, because of the way that we, you know, our preparation is so detailed. But, you know, I think having said all that, you always need talented players, you know, in the game of football. And that's what it's really, you know, it's a player's game. You know, and coaches, we want to try to put them in the best position to be successful. But, you know, we've been blessed in the 2 years that I've been at Gonzaga, and this being my third, having some really talented young men.
Yeah. Randy, before we let you go, you have an interesting start to the year. Three non-conference games, I believe, right off the bat. You play a powerhouse from Baltimore this weekend. Then you go down to Florida for a tough ball game, and then you come back. So could you just give us a little bit of an outline about the first month or so of your season?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, opening up in McDonough is maybe the top team in Baltimore to start off the season, so they're extremely talented. Then we're going to Vieira and playing, you know, one of the top teams in Central Florida. And as I said, they were the state, the 7A state runner-up a year ago, and they're extremely talented. And then we come back home, and we have a non-conference game against Avalon, and then we have our last non-conference game against Georgetown Prep. That's I believe it's the second oldest Catholic school rivalry in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, so we've been playing the game for over 100 years. So it's a you know, those four games to start off are all going to be, you know, challenging games. So we hope that we can go into our league play, you know, solid and you know, feeling good and you know, hopefully healthy and hopefully with some wins under our belt. But, you know, I know it starts this week with McDonough from Baltimore, and they're a formidable opponent without question.
Randy, thanks so much for your time, and best of luck at defending your title and going after third straight D.C. title.
Appreciate it greatly. Anytime, guys, thank you for having me on this evening.
Thank you very much.
Continued success to you. Randy Travers, the head coach of the Gonzaga Eagles, D.C. champs, back-to-back years, Randy in just his third year. Now, we promised some more interviews with head coaches and players from the Pennsylvania region.
This year it's going to be a lot different than last year and the year before that. I think everyone's coming into the season with a lot more heart and everyone's being more serious about it.
The upcoming season, I have a really good feeling about it. We've all been working very hard in practice. I think we'll be very successful as a team.
Well, we came through the first scrimmage. We felt we were physical and executed well as far as knowing our assignments and communicating our assignments defensively. A lot of kids coming back on both sides of the ball. Offensively, we have Logan Rupert, who will be playing quarterback, not running back. Logan Stern or Austin Heisler, our backfield. Four linemen returning up front. Tanner Barr is going to be starting at center for his third year. Tommy Coppola starting at tackle for his second year, Blake Fox. So we got some returners up front, and hopefully our skill with those guys in front of them will be able to be effective.
I think we'll match up good against most teams. I know last year everyone was a lot older than us. So, I mean, a lot of schools lost a lot of seniors, but I think this year we're the older team now, and I think we'll do a lot better against all the other teams.
And Matt Avanch did a great job, you know, as far as everything from practice schedules to organization and coaching. So a lot of the same stuff we're doing, we're just trying to continue the tradition that's happened the past few years and keep it rolling. Being around here for the past 8-9 years, too, and being in the school, I get to see a lot of players. And as far as, you know, not just attitudes, too, but work ethic. We returned 4 or 5 linemen, Cody Zerinsky, Ryan Myers, Trey Pollock, and Stephen Good return. And we have a few players battling for that fifth spot.
There's just been a lot of kids stepping up. We've had some kids that go down with injuries, and our motto is just next man up. So there's been a lot of young kids stepping up and taking a role of older seniors. We come out just trying to get better every day.
The whole league is going to be pretty balanced, and I think it's up for grabs for anybody. We have a lot of teams that have been extremely consistent over the past years. You know, for example, Southern Lehigh is always in the mix year after year. Notre Dame is reloaded and ready to go, too. You know, no matter who you see, I mean, you have Palisades, Penn Argyle, you know teams like Bangor and Catasauqua we've got to watch out for.
There's going to be very tough teams. It's going to be a good league again this year. We just got to take it 1 week at a time and do our best.
When Joe decided that he wasn't going to be able to coach this season, for me it was a no-brainer. I've been the offense coordinator here for the last 5 years. I know the kids really well. It's a good group of kids. We did graduate some very talented players. We had a lot of injuries last year. We had to play a lot of different kids. So we had a lot of younger kids get experience. You know, there's a definite carryover into this year with a lot of those kids getting time. I think the one area that we were most concerned with was the quarterback position. Losing Julian Spigner, you know, he was a 3-year starter for us, and we had 3 guys that were vying for the job. None of them have varsity experience, and we just wanted to look for the guy that was probably the most competent, the one that was the most comfortable with the position. You'll see us for a possession bring a new quarterback in just to see how they do, because this is a position that every year it could be somebody different. You know, we may go with the hot hand. So quarterback was the biggest question mark. After our first scrimmage, I was really happy with the way Liam played, so Liam's going to be the guy going into week one. We are in a much tougher division this year, but it's something that we're looking forward to. We thought that last 2 years playing up in the north, we didn't really feel like we were prepared for the playoffs. But now that we're playing the bigger schools in the south, we really look forward to the opportunity. We think we're going to be challenged every week. You know, we're genuinely excited to play some of the schools that we haven't played in the last 2 years.
We've done a great job in practice offensively and defensively and special teams. We've got as much in as we can. Now today we have a little team competition. We're going to do a thing called Trojan War where we put our kids through strength and agility tests. But so far, very happy with the team and everything going on. The key position for us is quarterback. Michael Roush is a junior. This is his first varsity time, so he's done a great job so far, and he's going to have to grow up in a hurry. And then across the board, we got some great young kids, Juan Salas at wide receiver. You know, it's just guys that are going to have to step in for the big group that we graduated last year. Just named our captains today, and Patrick Ferry, a returning 3-year starter on the offensive line. Nicky Suriel, who played tailback for us, he'll be a senior. DJ Holman, a two-year starter on the defensive line. Zach Bross, receiver, safety, who also is a two-year starter. And then Jahan Worth, who's a junior. He's a linebacker, running back. So those are some of the mainstays. And like I told our kids, we're four-time defending district champs, so everybody wants to take that from you. So, you know, it's our job to defend it. And like I said, we have kids stepping into new roles, and we're going to have to grow up in a hurry. But we sort of have a target on our back, and we're going to have to play that way, play with a little chip on our shoulder.
All right, and don't forget, both on this program and on the RCN TV website, we're going to continue to have player and coaches interviews as the season unfolds. You know, Dennis, you touched on this earlier, a lot of changes in terms of coaching staffs this year, and yet I don't think very many of those programs, if all, any of them, are going to lose a beat with those changes.
I wouldn't think so, no. But one we didn't mention, and something that you and I covered an awful lot back maybe 8, 9, 10 years ago, is the Wilson program. Mm. They brought one of their own back, yeah. Chris Labach. And I'm really interested to see what he injects into that, being a former state champion, and you know, he was always the blood and guts of that team, those teams. Didn't get a lot of recognition, you know, being a fullback and a middle linebacker. And, you know, he brought his brothers on staff. And, you know, that's one thing. I mean, like you say, the other programs, you know, the players are still in place. Wilson, they've been down for a while.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really interested to see what he's going to do.
All right, we're going to continue the high school football conversation in just a moment. We're also going to unveil our high school football preseason poll on this program. A few minor changes, or minor surprises, I think. So, but we'll get to that in just a moment. Right now, though, our second break of the evening. And although we haven't played a single high school football game as of yet, the golfing season is now in full swing. Our Sports Talk cameras
right
were on
now,
hand
like
for
said,
the season opener.
Team, so just for getting the kids out, playing, enjoying the game, hitting the ball a little bit better, and then just each day bringing down their scores a little bit at a time.
It's the beginning of the year. It's the first match. And actually, we do get better.
Started out rough and finished rough. It wasn't a good day.
I thought I did pretty well. First match of the season. Looking to improve as the season goes, along with the rest of the team.
I didn't hit the ball as straight as I wanted to. I could have made a couple more better chip shots and putts, but it is what it is.
Well, I wish I could have done better. Like, I wasn't hitting the straightest balls or that far, so I'm hoping to improve. My individual goals is to lower my score, and team goals is just to get better and possibly qualify.
My individual goals are just to keep lowering my score as we go on through the season, and team goals is just to get better.
Overall, I played pretty well. I wanted to keep my scores low, and my putting game was a little off, but that's something I need to work on.
Team goals, just to keep bringing down our scores, get our overall team score down a little bit, and just keep playing and enjoying the sport. Thought the kids came out, they did a great job. Going through, we have a lot of young players, so they came out, gave them their best. Came in with some great scores. We're really striking the ball well, so very happy overall.
I'd like to make leagues, districts. I think if we work together as a team, we'll make it there.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, the time you've been all waiting for. It is the unveiling of the RCN Sports Talk preseason poll, so we will unveil them right now. Parkland is our number one team. Not a unanimous choice, though. Unlike last year, they got 8 of our 10 voters' votes, 48 votes overall. Freedom was number two. They did get 2 first-place votes, 41 points overall. Third was Easton, but not by a whole lot. They edge out Whitehall for the number 4 spot with 24 and 22 points respectively. Number 5 seed is Liberty. They got 11 votes. Stroudsburg was the only other school that got multiple votes from different people in our poll. And, of course, for more information on our poll and who votes and so forth, you can find that at the Sports Talk Shop on our website, rcn.com/RCNTV. Joe, your thoughts on the preseason Big School Five?
Well, I think it's a pretty accurate assessment. I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure that one or two of those teams are even going to be there when we get halfway through the season, because I'm just not sold on one or two of those. But I think Parkland, Freedom, and Easton are our bona fide. Although I'm not as strong on Easton this year as I have been the last few years. I'm not sure they're as high as we've got them ranked, but I think those are the best five teams right now on paper.
All right, we'll take a look at the small school poll. Again, the information on the voters and so forth available on our website. But we're going to start the year with Central getting the number one seed, 40 votes overall, 8 first place votes. Saucon Valley was second, just barely. They got 1 first place vote and 28 points. Third was Notre Dame. They edge out Bethlehem Catholic, a tight 2-3-4. Saucon Valley with 28, Notre Dame with 26, and Becca with 25 points in our poll. And the number 5 seed goes to Penargil. They got 10 votes. Northwestern was the only other school that got multiple selections. Dennis, your thoughts on our small school 5?
Well, I didn't know that you were actually giving information about who these pollsters are.
Not everyone.
But
head coaches and announcers.
I will go on record as saying I'm one of them. And those were my 5. I don't know if they were in that order. I'd have to check my cell phone when I, shot that to you. But the big thing there with Bethlehem Catholic, when you're saying that they're as low as they are, probably because of the switch, them coming into the South Division, and why everyone's so high on Central Catholic, probably because they're moved to the North. Yeah. And,
we talked about
with Kyle Hawes what he said on one of the things that, the Northern Division didn't really prepare their team for the playoffs. Central Catholic right at the top of the poll. Saucon Valley losing a lot, but they still have some. But, 2-3, 2 new head coaches. 2, 3, and 4, actually. So.
And don't forget, we still have that trivia question out there. You can email the correct answer to us. Among the returning District 11 players, name the individual who leads District 11 in career rushing yards, or you can also name the school that he plays for. Again, email us that at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. We're going to have some final thoughts coming up in just a moment, but first, our friends from Runner's World were in the RCN studios recently to record several Take 5 features about an upcoming event that they and RCN are involved in. We talked to Bud Coates, is one of those interviews that are available on demand, and we talked with him about that special event coming up in October.
Well, if you're a beginner, I think the first thing you want to look at is the 5K, probably, because it's the shortest distance. The trail run on Friday night's awesome. If you like the outdoors and you're ready to take on the elements, the trail run's great. But even if not, get your kids out there to participate in the kids' runs. Or, if you have an animal, if you have a dog, participate in the dog run.
Final segment of RCN Sports Talk. Quick reminder, hours number 2 and 3 of our high school football primer shows will be broadcast from the Allentown Fair, August 30th and 31st. Shows will be played on tape delay on RCN-TV. They'll be available on demand and also available on the podcast. And also come out to the fair for September 1st, a special show, the 50th reunion of the first undefeated Parkland team. They're having a special ceremony this weekend. And also they're going to reunite, talk about some great old stories from their playing days and talk about Parkland football before it became this powerhouse that it now is. September 1st, 7:30 at the Farmerama. Our final segment with Dennis Lobb and Joe Craig in studio. We have a phone caller on the line. Let's go to Pete from Bangor, who wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Pete, welcome to Sports Talk.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, my friend. Good. The other young man from Nazareth, the 200-meter champion, I think it's him.
He would have been the correct answer had he returned this year.
I mean the other one on the other side.
Oh,
Liazzi.
Liazzi.
No,
that's not him.
He's not him.
Nope.
No, there's someone that has
more. No, it's not it.
Nope.
Can I guess again?
What's that?
What? Can I guess again?
Third time's a charm.
Oh, sure. All right, Joe's
come
feeling
on,
cherry.
Pete.
Go ahead. Who else do you think?
I'm going to say then the kid from Liberty, Street.
No. Good guess. No. But no.
Both great receivers, yeah. By the way. But no, there's somebody else under the radar. You probably will recognize when you hear the name.
Yeah.
Pete's okay. Well, listen, I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Good guesses, and of course, again, is when we sign off, people watching us on replay or podcast can email the correct answer to us. I thought we'd get some guesses for Dodson, who did not come back. But Liazzi is a great player. Just some general thoughts too about the Colonial League. We kind of touched on this a little bit, that in years past, there's been Wilson for many years. Caddy had a couple dominant years, Northern Lehigh, Penn Argyle, Saucon Valley last year. I think this might be as wide open a Colonial League as we've seen in 12, maybe 15 years. Dennis, you agree?
I definitely agree. Everybody, of course, on paper early on, you're going to say the Saucon Valley's into Notre Dame's. But, you know, Penn Argyle has 18 seniors on their team.
Yeah.
When was the last time Penn Argyle had 18 seniors on a team? Probably back in their championship years. Northern Lehigh is returning a lot of players. Northwestern has, you know, you're making up for some big losses, but they're also returning some players. And I just think top to bottom, you really have some parity in that league, which is good, you know.
All right, and that'll do it for hour number one of our preview show. Again, Joe and Dennis. Now, Joe, you're going to be with us. Dennis isn't going to be here. He's complaining he didn't get the last 20 seconds or so. Joe will be with us. We're going to have some special guests, local media, and football insiders coming up for hours number two and three. We hope you'll join us for that. For Joe, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.